Frontier.
Ladies and gentlemen, the following podcast is Wrestling Death and is scheduled for 1 hour. Maybe more. It has no real time limits, making their way into your ears. First, from a place called Barniston, he is the Pyramid.
It's going to be the funniest show ever because I'm all about the comedy and the money.
Baby. How much you can pay?
And his partner, Fede Tappender Stevenson.
From Mexico City to Beef Community Centre, I've got stories that are going to blow your mind.
Hello and welcome to Wrestling Daft, wrestling podcast. Best wrestling podcast in the world, if you ask me. And this is a football-free zone. I just want to remind everybody this is a wrestling podcast. There'll be no talk about football on this episode at all. So you are in a football-free zone. Let's play the football-free zone music. Football-free. We're in a football-free zone. And Grado is in the room. Grado, how you doing? Don't mention football. How you doing, my man?
Champions, champions.
So how you doing, my man? You all right? How was it doing in George Square at the weekend?
I'm going to get this all weekend, I swear to God. You looking for some fireworks? I've got some fireworks left if you want to buy some.
What up, pal? Did you get your wally out in the street and all that?
That was me.
Because they were doing that, weren't they? The Rangers fans were getting their wally out and all that.
I don't know.
First time that boy's had his wally out in fucking 10 years. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Is that what you took for that weekend? That guy's Wally.
That's all I can think about. It's really all I can think about. I was thinking, am I going to bury or am I going to put over that guy's Wally? I was thinking I'm going to bury his Wally, I think. If you're that guy, if you're out there and you hear this, please get in touch. We'd like to bury your Wally live on the show.
Get him on the run-in.
Get in touch with that. Come on the run-in and the scud and we'll put over your Wally. I'll put Grado over your Wally. We'll see what happens. So this is Wrestling Daft, wrestling podcast. Have you been watching any wrestling or have you been just all football?
No, I watched, so the AEW pay-per-view, I watched some of that. Didn't enjoy it, if I'm being honest with you. I didn't, see, the problem is, I woke up and I saw that bit at the end, the fucking, the explosion. And I tried to watch, like, see, here's my problem even before that wrestling match starts, right? See an exploding death match or whatever it is, right? It's not the same in a beautiful, nice arena with a nice crisp ring, all clean looking. If you want a death exploding fucking whatever match, should be in an old, fusty, smelly bastard hall. Do you know what I mean? Full of jakes with no teeth.
Well, there's an argument there though as well. Like what you could basically be saying there is that it's a kind of thing that happens in a mere small-time promotion than what AEW likes to present themselves as. I just don't understand how that happened, mate, because all you need is some stuff that gives out a lot of smoke, really, and you could have rigged it up so that ring collapses, which, you know, is easy to do. We've seen the WWE do it, you know what I mean? You just rig it up so the ring collapses or something. You do something. I'm baffled by it. But the simple fact of the matter is they don't have the production that WWE has, and in these moments, you can tell, you know what I mean?
But you think they would double check that before it happens? I mean, now they're trying to cover it up and make it look like, oh, Kenny Omega, he meant it, he doesn't know what he's doing. And as I say, for me, I don't like watching any kind of matches in lovely, big, clean. Do you know what I mean? It needs to be, and the wrestlers need to be, look as if they need a wash. Like, it's too clean for me, man. It's just no.
The other thing is, I've got no interest in a match like that either. I've got no interest in, because it's always a lot of shite. It's like, the argument you have here, right, is this, right? You go, well, that explosion looked fake at the end, right? It looked rubbish. It was crap. It was embarrassing to look at. It made the guys in the ring look really bad. I mean, fundamentally, that was a problem, right? It made the guys in the ring look really bad. It made Eddie Kingston look really fucking silly, right? Mm-hmm. Which is, and there's a guy who's worked for years and years to build this persona for himself, and in one night, it looks ridiculous, right? But even if one of the matches go well, I've seen a few of these matches, right? The exploding death match matches and stuff like that. And even in the ones where the explosion is good, you're still sitting there going, this is fucking daft, man. It's like, it's not a real explosion. It's like, just it's just some better fireworks going off, really. It's just some better prop explosions going off. So it's like, it's never something I've bought in anyway. You know what I mean? I'd much rather just see somebody a guy a leathering, which looks real, than watch a guy kidding on he's getting blown up by something.
It was, I mean, no harm to them, but it was a graft watching that show. And literally, everything's tag team and six-man and multi-man, and there's never just a straight-up one-on-one match. And when it comes to one-on-one matches, it's shit that you're no interested in. Like, the Matt Hardy and Adam Page stuff, just the winner gets the first quarter's earnings and all that. I don't know, I couldn't invest in that. The six-man ladder match, I feel as if that's they put that on every week. It's just... It's frustrating.
Well, I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do this because it's difficult to do a wrestling show, right? And I'm just going to put this out to Tony Khan. Tony Khan listens to our show on a regular basis. And, you know, I'm working from home, obviously, but I'd be happy to fling ideas in. You know, you talk to my agent and I'll fling some ideas in about booking and stuff. I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with the booking, but just some creative ideas I'd like to fling in. You know?
And you're putting that proposal out to Tony. Tony, if you're listening, I am prepared to sign on the dotted line. I'm prepared to come to America and I will sing that fucking song ringside as loud as fucking possible every week. I will be the best wrestling kiddo and fan at ringside for Jericho's entrance. I could do that better than anybody else on that roster.
I would be
brilliant at that.
You should be. You should be in AEW. I should be on creative. And I'll never get on creative in WWE. You know? I just kind of feel like I'm not going to get that shot. I'm never going to move over there or anything like that. But I feel like Tony Khan understands the thing about long distance, staying business long distance. And so I'm saying, Tony, I'm here. Grado's here. He's ready to wrestle. Put that pint down, Grado. He's ready to wrestle. And Tony Khan watching this and you're fucking down in a pint while I'm saying you're ready to go. Grado's ready to go. I'm ready to do creative. I think you've got a very, very talented roster there. You get fresh ideas. I just want to come in there and just you know, pitch some ideas in. Let's see what the punters are saying. Let's see if anybody else wants to work for Tony Khan this week. Jamie says it's exactly a year ago since we got to take Liera to the wrestling. What does this mean, John?
I think it's maybe
probably somebody's daughter.
Daughter?
Yeah.
Right, okay. We need a wee bit more details for the listeners than that, right? So you have to do research and find out. Target Wrestling in Carlisle it was to see the post-Panto season slimline Grado wrestling. Wow. I wonder if he's kept that slimline look during lockdown.
You kidding me on
this year? No, Grado was a year ago, run about the new, he was very slim.
And nobody liked it. Everybody said you're too thin. Bob said it. He's like, nah, it's just not you. And it's heartbreaking. I was at the lightest I've ever been in my life. I get down to something like 13 stone 12. And I'm too embarrassed to tell you what I weigh now. It's that bad.
But it's why like, not just be like, we'll just be open about it?
I'm out 18 stone.
That, but listen, you're a wrestler.
I know, man. I'm not a sound man.
There's wrestlers out there, by the way, they know who are like, hey, I am hanging, I'm 12 stone two. I'm like, you're fucking 12 stone two and you're a wrestler. You go and put my call center.
I just thought it would be like, oh man, a couple of weeks after, nae wrestling for I'll be glad I wee break a couple of weekends after the old wrestling. Cool. And then it's like next year and I've got beards and all that and I'm fat as fuck and I'm always stinking and all that. You know what I mean? I'm always needing to clean my arse all the time and then just fucking deodorant doesn't last 12 hours now, it only lasts 6. I feel as if my breath's always barking. Like I'm just a shell of my former self. But look at this fucking state of me.
But did you feel happy when you were that light?
I fucking loved it.
Did you actually love it?
Oh, I loved it, mate. I felt gorgeous. Loved it.
You'll be back. You'll be back there if you want to be there.
I don't have one pair of pants that doesn't have the gooch ripped out it, but I'm too lazy. Anyway, let's move on.
Right. Ian says he's still loving Wrestling Daft with Bobby the Brain Florence, Gradle Monsoon, and John Mongo McAnally.
What?
If you have any, I like Mongo McMichaels. If you haven't listened to it yet, why the fuck not? He says. And thanks to Daniel for pointing out that Matt Stryker now presents a reality show where the winner gets to have a baby with a girl. Why is this not being talked about?
What?
A baby with what girl? What is this reality show?
Yeah, he sent a clip of it. I'm going to see if I can find the clip of this reality show that Matt Stryker now hosts.
You get to have a baby with the girl.
A baby with a girl.
Labour of Love reality series.
Oh, my goodness.
That's the one.
Right, okay.
I wonder Matt Stryker. Did you just make a Matt Stryker? Just anybody that doesn't know Matt Stryker as well, he's a commentator, isn't he?
Well, there was two Matt Strykers. One of them had the unibrow that wrestled for Ring of Honor. He had the Y in his name, and he was an amazing wrestler. Matt Stryker, I only met him once or twice. He was booked at What Culture as a commentator. He actually commentated me in El Liguero at Motherwell Civic Centre. It's mental to think that What Culture would do that, would bring your commentators to fucking commentate on a show in Motherwell.
That was a big money mark endeavour, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. It was good fun while it lasted, mind you.
Good fun while it lasted, a lot of these things. After the chat about encores at gigs, David Birch says his first time in the Barrowlands, New Order didn't come out for an encore. 10 minutes I get to fuck, numerous objects being thrown at all the roadies. Best gig ever. Agreed 1,000,000% with John. They'll get Lighthouse Family in the bin.
Yeah.
Big Lighthouse Family and John McNally angle building up here. We're building up towards a big payoff match. When Wrestling Daft can show us live. Martin Indoors adds to this, enjoying Wrestling Daft's discussion of the weird kidology of gig encores, where everybody knows the band are kidding on their way and it's just agreed we'll all go through the motions. Are there any other non-wrestling examples of kayfabe? Well, let me have a think about that.
That's a good question.
That's a good one. Non-wrestling examples of kayfabe. Something like that, where the gig, where they go, right, the gig's done really, but they're kidding on, and everybody knows they're kidding on. Trying to think.
We should throw this out to the audience for next week.
Aye, we need
that
some.
That could get... Aye.
We need some ideas there. We need some ideas.
I mean, we've done the whole soap styles and turning heel and turning face and... But that's a good one. I think our listeners would come up with good stuff. That's good stuff. That's good for next week.
One of the biggest, of course, non-wrestling examples of kayfabe there is Santa Claus.
Yes.
Santa Claus.
Well,
Tooth Fairy.
Putting the cookies and the carrot and all that out, the biscuits and the wee drink and the carrot out for Santa at night. That's massively kayfabe, don't know what. Anyway, mayor request for Gradle to sing wrestling themes. John says Gradle should sing Mark Henry's theme Sexual Chocolate in this week's show. Do you know the lyrics to that, Gradle?
Okay. I'll just double check the lyrics.
Just having a check for the lyrics. This is what I admire about Gradle. He is a professional. Anybody that's worked with him will know this, whether it's a sitcom he does, whether it's a radio show he does, or a panel he does. He's a professional. He brings great scrutiny to everything he does. Gradle.
It's sexual, baby. Ooh. Right, I want to give it you all to you. Yeah, right on. I'm not here for you. So sexual, baby. Oh, sexual. I know. And I'll tell you why, baby. Baby, it's time, you know. I don't know that, man.
You don't even know the tune?
I don't know. Is there any tune to it? I can't think. It's sexual, baby. Ah, and I want to get it on. And sexual chocolate, what's it say? Right, sexual, baby. Oh, and I want to get it on right for you. Yeah, right on. I know it's going to be good for you. And I'll tell you why, baby. Maybe it's time that you know my love is growing. And I just can't pretend anymore. Cause my love is showing. Oh, and I know when it's just you and I, I won't show you and you won't deny. Sexual, baby. That's me.
Beautiful. Is that what you would sing to Stephen Gerrard?
That was fucking shit. I'd rather do, oh shit, 3-6 mafia. And you can't, let's go look again.
Why don't you get somebody to request that next week?
Aye, all right.
After we posted a clip of the Michael Jackson wrestler who's finished.
Somebody's going to get their arse kicked. Somebody's going to get their wheels burst. Somebody's going to get their arse kicked. Something like that.
I don't think he used the term arse.
His finisher is the King of the Pop elbow, where he moonwalks before bouncing off a rope, then a Michael Jackson spin and dropping the elbow. We wanted rock star, pop star finishers. Bung Holio, great name, said Super Manfred Man Punch. And Co Keen a Clutch.
Oh, come on.
Fucking terrible. Jamie Ogden says Nina Samoan Drop.
What?
Nina Simone Drop, Tombstone Roses and Tears for Spears. Very good. And Andy says Gary Glitter's Shattered Dreams.
I'm ready to walk out tonight.
What the fuck is that? Why have you put a Gary Glitter joke in this, John?
What?
Why have you put a Gary Glitter joke in the show notes?
He gets a mention every week, doesn't he, really?
He gets a mention every week, only for Grado, because Grado legitimately went to see him. If you want to get in touch with us about any of that or just random wrestling-related stuff, get us on Twitter at Wrestling Daft, on Insta at Wrestling Daft Podcast, just Wrestling Daft on Facebook. Our email is please at wrestlingdaft@gmail.com. Every week we like to separate the good for the bad, the Alex Beresfords from the Piers Morgans. That was a work.
Topical.
Well, I was going to mention that earlier with the
case. That was a work.
And is he going to come back? Piers Morgan's going to come back at one point.
He'll go to that new channel, that mad new channel he's setting up.
Andrew Neil.
Right. Well,
by the way, So who would replace him? Right, they need a controversial guy. They're all talking about being Jeremy Clarkson, right?
Mm-hmm.
What about this fair left fielder? What did he say? A left fieldy thing? Imagine they brought back Jeremy Kyle.
Oh,
you know?
Nah.
Nah?
I don't see that happening.
Who do you think will bring on?
I don't know. I want
Richard Madeley?
I don't know. I think it'll be somebody new or somebody we don't expect. Anyway, what are you burying and what are you putting over, Grado?
I don't know, because if I'm going to put over anybody, it's got to be MJF. The guy's shit hot. He's brilliant. He's the only decent guy I think that I'm enjoying right now watching wrestling. I love it. AEW, as we said at the start of the show, I just can't get into it. The cinematic matches, although I heard that one was actually pretty no too bad.
Well, you seem a bit underwhelmed, mate. I want to bury something this week, and
I want to bury
Peyton Royce. I don't want to bury Peyton Royce herself, the wrestler, but I want to bury the promo that she did. She did a promo on. She did a promo, and I don't know if it was like Talking Smack or Raw Talk or whatever. It was one of these post-show talk things, and she did a promo about like being ignored and, you know, when is she going to get her shot and all that kind of stuff. And basically who I'm burying here is that creative approach that you see too often now. Obviously Daniel Bryan has had these kind of promos in the past, and even The Miz had a great one in the past on these Talking Smack things and stuff, where it's like they're shooting all of a sudden, and all of that.
As if they're on the panel at the FIPA. I hate that.
But I'm just tired of, see this promo where people are saying, I'm being overlooked, I'm being kept down, I'm not getting the shot that I deserve. Think up some fucking new ideas. See when you go back, I'm going back to when Dusty Rhodes was fighting Ric Flair, or when, you know, back in the olden times, right? You didn't have guys going, I'm being looked over by the company, I've got so much potential that they're no seeing. Can you imagine these fucking grown men saying things like that? You know what I mean? Can you imagine it? Can you imagine these grown men? You imagine like Tully Blanchard standing there and going, I'm being overlooked and my potential has not been allowed to blossom. They were just wanting back. To pick guys' asses. They were wanting to fight. They were wanting to win titles. They hated people. They wanted to fucking sort people out. I hate this new thing where it's like, well, I'm really unhappy with my employer for not giving me the opportunities that the other people are getting. Like, fuck off.
You're bang right there, by the way.
Enough of that fucking story.
That is great. You're right. Again, right, so I went to Buddy. For me, the whole AEW Christian Cage debut, I felt that done absolutely nothing for anybody. I felt it buried the Big Show, because the Big Show's putting his neck in the line, giving it, this is going to be a Hall of Famer. A Hall of Famer. Now, when it's AEW and you know they've got cash to splash, that is going to invoke all the people on Twitter. Is it Kurt Angle? Is it CM Punk? Could it be Lesnar? And I think it buried the two of them coming out. Christian Cage coming out. It's a good get, but I'll tell you what, it's not as good a get as what the Big Show was. I did it the other way about. And I went Christian coming in and saying, here, I'll tell you what, somebody's coming in the hangway, and then the Big Show coming out. Mm. I'd rather see the Big Show in an AEW ring with a brand new spankery leotard, a brand new tune,
but is it no
taking
kind
some
of that,
names.
Is there no kind of thing that Christian can still go much more than Big Show can?
Well, that's the thing or not. I mean, the outworker, who can outwork me? That's a bit like your Peyton Royce push.
You're right, mate.
I cannot be outworked. Not be outworked. Fuck off.
I know, fuck off.
Nobody's going to beat you. I'm a worker.
Listen, let me tell you something, right? You know who the best get for AEW would have been if they were talking about bringing in some kind of legend, right? Or whatever. The one that would really make me excited, Kevin Nash. Genuinely, Kevin Nash. And I'll tell you why. Because see the kind of, the way things are at AEW, how often they lean on comedy bits and stuff like that, right? And how often they lean on the kind of backstage kind of fun bits, and how it's kind of tongue-in-cheek in places, and it's that wee wink to the audience. Nobody's better at that than fucking big, sexy Kevin Nash.
Who was it he done it with on TNA? Was it Sabin?
Aye.
Or was it Alex Shelley or whatever? No. The part was brilliant, wasn't it?
Aye. Just imagine big Kev there. You could give him anything. Imagine him interacting with all of them, with MJF and Jericho and all that. You know what I mean? It would be dynamite.
And they're right into all this part of the carnies and all that, right? He would fit right in with all that.
Aye.
You know, talking about money and fucking...
He would be brilliant.
Thrive on that, wouldn't he?
He would be brilliant in that. And the thing is, with him, he's just this big guy. You still imagine could really just, you know, put you right in the dish.
Aye.
Like, sort you right out. He just looks like a tough, legit big guy. You know, because he's a good guy. He's a good guy, Kevin Nash, as well. I would love to see Kevin Nash slotting in there.
The whole Christian Cage debut just, to me, pure reeked up TNA, didn't it? It just felt, it was just, but I'll tell you what, shout out to Div Grimason, who always made me laugh when he would talk about how folk in the cat house would come up and go, can you play Christian Cage's TNA theme for me?
Aye.
That's the first thing I thought about, because he had his TNA.
Well, AEW needs to be careful, because I think in the last couple of months, the last few months, they've looked more small time than they've looked since the start.
I was loving it.
But they're in serious danger of losing their cool factor. There's something, they had a cool factor about them, and they're in danger of losing it. Just a few screw-ups that have happened, and things that haven't paid off very well, and, you know, a few signings that haven't excited their audience, like the audience that kind of got them started with All In and all that kind of stuff. You know, they just need to be careful, I think.
There's too many folk there, man. It's like that tag team gauntlet push. It's like, how many factions is there? You can't keep up with it. You really can't.
Well, let me tell you something, right? Here's another thing. This is why I'm excited about NWA's, what do they call it? Calling it again?
I saw that.
Back.
Oh, back for God. Back for more. Back for good.
No, back for good. Let's take that. It's NWA. Oh, my God. I'm going to have to Google it one sec. NWA. We'll see. One sec.
NWA.
Back for the attack. Back for the attack, it is, right? NWA back for the attack. Now, everybody's been saying...
Sounds like a PBW show.
This is great. The NWA...
PBW back for the attack, Irvin Magnum.
This is great, they're saying, right? The NWA are back for the attack, right? But people are going, but they don't have anybody on their roster. They're like, they've got a fucking tiny roster. Well, let me tell you something. I would fucking kill for a company with a tiny roster now. Give me a company with a small roster.
Yeah.
Because the WWE has got about a fucking 1,000 people in it.
Yeah.
Right? 1,000 fucking people in it. 990 of they people are exactly the fucking same as each other, right? AEW new has fucking hundreds of people as well in it. Even Impact is bringing on a lot of people. Bringing on a NWA, stay muscular, stay interesting, discover some new stuff. We roster will be fine. Let's see what the
punters are.
Love on. Who's your man?
You. My man. You know how he spit it good, bro. You know how he spit it good.
I know. Toby wants to put over the tag Battle Royale on Revolution. Everybody get a chance to shine. It shows how many awesome teams they have in AEW. Exact opposite of what Grado's been saying.
Totally disagree.
And he wants to bury people expecting a wrestler to be exploded at the end of a gimmick match. Aye, the pyro at the end was bad, but the match was a belter.
I want to see blood and guts, Toby. I'm sorry, mate.
Well, listen, it doesn't matter how good that match was. That match is not a joke. That's just the way I look at that. It's a shame. It's a
pity. What was it Bubba Ray tweeted? They'll only ever remember the finish.
Well, there it is. I mean, I don't know if that's true. I don't think that's fair. But when the finish is like that, that's all anybody's ever going to remember. Ben wants to put over Sheamus and Drew working together and Christian signing for AEW, and he wants to bury the explosion, which made Eddie Kingston look like a fanny. Rico wants to put a Christine Cage. You're way out of line with the listeners here, Grado.
I'm no rang, but...
Rico says Christine smashes it out of the park every time he gets an opportunity and doesn't ever suffer being overhyped. Potential meetings with MJF, Kenny Omega, Ricky Starr, Brian Cage, Hangman Page, Dark Orton likes. It's exciting. No, hey, Rico.
Listen, no, it's not that... Listen, that you're getting the wrong end of the stick if you think it's a bad idea that he's in AEW. It's not that. It's just when you G the guy up as a Hall of Famer, man, he's not kicked a ball in a couple of years. Do you know what I mean? Fair play. He got that payday at the Royal Rumble. He came back there, got the pop. That looks cool. That looks cool. I don't know. He will be great. He is a great wrestler. He's a great worker, right? But, aye, cool, man. Sorry, isn't it?
It's not exciting you. And Rico again is burying the obvious one, the end of that Moxley Omega match. I'm not sure anybody thought Moxley and Eddie Kingston would actually be blown to smithereens, but there's no escaping the fact that Sparkle's gone off at the end was a bit underwhelming. AEW will move past it, though. Shit happens. Let's all move on. Watch more wrestling. Andrew says everybody else is probably burying it too.
But hold on a second. Can you imagine WWE done it and it would done that? Everybody would be going, oh, I'm fucking buying it. I'm never watching it again. It's one lot of shite.
Aye, exactly. We'll talk about that in a minute. Everybody else is probably burying it too, but that ending to such a hyped up match was Boufin, says Andrew. The entire AEW pay-per-view was awful. Cinematic match was good, but move on, you've got crew. And he wants to put her Bully Ray's tweet, quoting Big Vince, the only thing they remember is the finish, just like Grado says. Daniel's putting her Moxley and Kingston's promo trying to explain away the ending of Revolution. Did you see that?
Was this last night when I was sitting drinking?
Yeah.
I can't go that either, I'm sorry.
Didn't work for
I
me.
I can't go that either. Honestly, I mean, I love Eddie Kingston and all that, but I can't go... See the problem when I watch AEW backstage promos and all that? I've totally got a cheek. I definitely have, because I look back at some of my stuff and I go, calm down, but it's the overacting it all. It's the having the... Ken all that, looking about and going, oh, hello. Ken, it's never... It feels if there's nobody there to go, sit still. Sit still. And, you know, all these wee feet, even when you watch... In-ring promos, the best two guys for in-ring promos are the, what do you call them, the LAX, because they stun there. But you watch everybody else and they go, and nobody can see me doing this because I podcast, but yeah. look at the overacting in the background. Everybody's trying to get themselves over in a fucking backstage promo when they're not talking. It's like, stand still. Do you know what it reminds me? It reminds me of folk on the X Factor. And at the end, and that's sure, that's same difference. And if you want same difference, phone 0888, and they're suddenly going out with the phone, call, vote for me, yeah. Give us a call. That's exactly what that is. Nobody's there to tell them to chill out.
Do you think, you know, like, looking back at it now, you know, you've went into acting two doors down, Scott Squad and all that. Do you think if you go back, you would change stuff?
Oh, 100%. I learned so much about acting when... Because I've told you, when I done River City, I thought it was, oh, I'm loud. I'm going to be brilliant in River City. Lines, fuck me, I was brilliant. And the nativity play back in the day, I've got this nae bother. And you know, you read the line, and I say this all the time, you know, say the line's, "Hi, darling, you fancy watching a rom-com tonight?" You know, instead of going, "You fancy watching a rom-com tonight?" I was, "Hiya, darling, you fancy a rom-com tonight, hen?" Can fucking, I'd love to be able to go back and change that. It was Johnny Watson. It was like, just take it down a notch. Just take it down a notch. And you know what I mean? You can't ask yourself, Rob, you're a good actor, but you know what I mean? Everything's just play it real. It's no acting. Hiya! Do you know, and I cringe when I go back and look at some of the stuff.
Although there's a place for that. There's a place for that, I know.
There is a place for that. But no, when and a promo and they just everything's Ken with a fucking neck, all that.
I want to talk a wee bit about this Eddie Kingston and John Moxley promo that they did that a lot of AEW fans are saying. They saved it. I mean, no, they didn't save it. I don't know what that promo was. The two of them were kind of drunk and hang me, right, like, you know, acting cool and that, like sitting there, hitting out with our stuff. The fucking promo that we should have seen after that. Now, Eddie Kingston was telling the story in this promo where he was kind of drunk with John Moxley, that what had happened was he went in to save John Moxley, lay in topium, and he blacked out because of the stuff that had went on in his past. It took him back there, and he blacked out. The anxiety's all pulled in, and he blacked out, right? He blacked out.
PTSD. Now,
that's fine, right? I like that. But it's the way they performed it in Puru Ur. Eddie Kingston should have been like, "I blacked out, call me a coward if you want," and all that, but you don't know, you haven't lived my life and all that kind of stuff, right? Eddie Kingston should have been fucking raging. Eddie Kingston should have been like, "The world is laughing at me." That's what that promo should have been about. It shouldn't have been him being like, "I'm fine with the fact everybody thinks I look like an idiot." And I think, Eddie Kingston, with everything we know about Eddie Kingston, be happy with the fact that everybody is fucking laughing at him? He should have been on their own fire. He should have been marching in looking for Kenny Omega. He should have been looking for fucking whoever set up the pyro. He should have been looking for him. He says, "You made me look like a fucking idiot." He should have been on rampage on that episode. And instead, he's sitting with his mate having a drink, going like a black toot. So if call me a coward if you want, like he doesn't care.
Small
I don't believe fucking
it.
Eddie Kingston doesn't care. I don't get what that was.
Well, give him a fortnight. I become, man. kidding on. I'm totally kidding on.
Neil wants to put all the women's title match on Revolution.
By the way, I'm legit scared of Eddie Kingston. He's one of the only people that I was really...
Listen, and only reason, and by the way...
Tag me in this, he'll bit my fucking boss.
Listen, and by the way, if you know...
I'll just bring a bag of bangers if he starts on me. The bangers used to get his away. You know what I mean?
The only reason I'm saying this about Eddie Kingston as well is because, Eddie Kingston's great. I think Eddie Kingston is great. He's a great promo. He's great in the ring. I love his look. I love everything about Eddie Kingston, but just, you know, it just fucking annoyed me. I was like, AEW should have just went, let's pull the trigger on Eddie Kingston. Let's let him loose like a rocket in this company now after this. Because that's how you come back. That's how you come back for somebody looking daft, is the next night you make him look like a fucking badass. That's it. You should have gave him that. He deserved that. He deserved it after what happened.
And that's why this guy sitting across from me has got 6 series. He's on Netflix as a writer. This guy knows.
You get in touch. So Neil wants to put all the women's title match in Revolution. No really watch Japanese wrestling, but if that's an example, I'll need to start. You will. Don't want to bury anything as everybody else has covered the obvious. Instead, want to ask why do AEW seem to struggle to do a good pay-per-view, and what do they need to change? As good as the long-term storytelling is, they seem really bad at finishing them. I'm struggling to remember many of the storylines that have had a satisfying conclusion. Is that just a pitfall of long-term stories that it's harder to find a natural end that makes sense? That's a very good question.
That's a very good point.
Now, I think AEW need a bit of a free pass here in terms of like the long-running storylines and all that kind of stuff. Because obviously they had a bit of a death in the family situation and stuff, which must have rocked them all and would have changed the trajectory of stuff. So we need to get after them there. But I do agree, the pay-per-view is... See, do you feel that their pay-per-views have lost a bit of sparkle ever since the focus has kind of moved off of Cody?
Wow, you just took the words right with my mouth. Do you think it's a bit like how, when I think back to the start of AEW, it's like the tag belt should have been on the Young Bucks right away because they were... What's that word I'm looking for?
Over.
They were over there. They were legit. They were attacked.
They were over and they were originators of the right. thing. They were right there on the ground floor area. So,
but it also feels that like they were like, we can't put the tag titles on us because we're booking it. We don't, right? And it's kind of the same with Cody, where he's like, I'll just throw myself in a six man. I'll just wrestle the Straubs. And it's like, no, we want you in there. You know, we want you because. Do you get what I mean?
I do get what you mean.
Like, right, not the problem with AEW, it's basically the lunatics running the asylum to an extent where there's no one backstage apart from Tony Khan running the creative. There's like no one out with the wrestlers running the creative.
But then you must have your, like, say, your Arn Anderson's on it backstage going, fuck me, look at this shit tonight. Check that out. You know what I mean? Because they've got experience there. You know what I mean? I tell you what, when I was watching that bit last night, right, where the inner circle were going to turn on Jericho, and Jericho, man, was brilliant. He was like that. You felt sorry for him.
Always brilliant.
He's always brilliant, right? Don't get me wrong, I was like that. I fucking seen a lot of me when he was blowing out his ass in that first match the other night. I'm going, oh, Jericho, man, brilliant. Right, however, there was a bit where the inner circle turned on him in his face, and you're going, I feel sorry for Jericho here. And at that point, I'm going, wow, fucking get that. Turn them face. I know he's a great heel. I know he is, but there's something there in that, I know. Because he's hilarious. See the start before the match the other night, in the pay-per-view match, I can't remember what he was doing. I think he took the tag belts off and he's going, and he had his big smile and it was dead funny. I don't know, there was just maybe I'm talking shit, Rad, but there was just a wee part of me where I thought this could be good if they did turn in a circle, and Jericho is out there, and then he gets a baby face, it's something coming, and the two of them take on the inner circle, and I thought that would be brilliant.
Aye. Yeah, it didn't happen.
And then it became two heel factions fighting one another, and you're like, aye. Well, what? Two heel factions? Do you know what I mean? What's too much eating here?
Dream Queen 28, I feel bad now, say, wants to put all the Drew and Sheamus match in Raw. That was a main event worth their WrestleMania, and wants to put her Peyton Royce's promo on Raw Talk.
What do you make a thing with? What do you call him? Social boy, I told you so. Social boy, I told you so. And Randy Orton.
I don't know what's happening there. I don't know why Randy Orton's getting it. I don't know what's going on. Maybe Randy Orton's seen some of this Bad Bunny buzz and he's like, I want a rapper to fight as well. Collecting them like Pokemon. Pop artists. Collecting pop artists like Pokemon. Someday, Roman Reigns should call out Ariana Grande. Just out of the blue.
Aye.
Dream Queen 28 wants to... Dream Queen 28 wants to bury...
Seth Rollins calling out the Weller Man.
Queen 28 wants to bury the segment between Shane and Braun on Raw. Shane's promo confused me a little bit. I feel like they don't know what to do with Braun Strowman, do they? And Braun Shelley wants to put on last week's show. Shout out to Toll. That story had me greeting. The road story set me off again. Joey Janela versus Ricky Shane Page, SmackDown, Dynamite, and NXT entertained me in the past week. Bury. I'll let everybody else do the burying. John wants to put over Christian at AEW. Guy's still got matches left in him. Grado doesn't know what he's talking about. Also Drew and Sheamus. Guys knocked fuck out each other. That's what pals can do. When pals get in the ring, you ought to see Grado and Sha when they're in the ring, by the way. It is strong style. And he wants to bury Rhapsody and Red Hot Chili Peppers are overrated. Shocking. But the new stuff is not the best, to be honest. The new stuff, it means everything after the first album. Kev wants to put over Sheamus. He looked really good since coming back. And he wants to bury Miro.
Oh.
He's a good wrestler, but his gimmick isn't packaged as a Bulgarian brute. Might not have been his choice, but it worked.
Tell you what, he looked good, but did you see the match with Chuck Taylor and that?
No, I didn't see it.
Right. Oh, come on, man. I mean, I hate doing this because it's like...
He was dressed up as Zangief from Street Fighter, wasn't he?
Right, I know that's all your game on that computer. I know he's into his Twitch and fucking Mortal Kombat and all that push, right? But there was legit rap, he looked fucking brilliant in that match the other night. I know you love him, so you would like. He was just battering the two of them. But what frustrates me, and I hate doing this, but like, so you've got this grudge thing with Chuck Taylor and Orange Cassidy, and there's been He's I mean, I've not been following it, but I'm mad. It's been going on for pretty well. It's a pretty big grudge in it. And I just find a day like, see the tapping him, Cassidy done the kick in the shins, kind of slow motion kicks to the shins. And I'm like, mate, drop that for one night. And I know you've got to do your best bits and stuff like that, but it's like any time with an ICW, obviously I done my comedy stuff, but if there's somebody that's been battering me for the past 3 months, I'm not going to go in there and start tickling his oxers at the test of strength. Do you know what I mean? I'm not doing that during that match. It's like, drop that for one night. And I just, do you know what I mean? Sorry, I'm going dead Jim Cornette here, but it's
No.
It was frustrating.
That's what we want.
Because he was murdering him, and I'm going, all he needs to do is murder him, and they get one big comeback, and it'd be fucking superb. There's no need to put the gaga in there.
Keep it simple. Keep it simple. Mick wants to bury speculation of two Hall of Fames this year is smelling. No fans. Nobody really cares about the Hall of Fame either. Too long. Too many people. He wants to put everybody calling Soldier Boy a minge. I mean, what the fuck? And who's Andy says, Andy, and I love this one. This has been the best one we've ever had. Andy says, I'd like to bury all the nasty heels and put over all the friendly baby faces, please.
No. Listener of the week. Could that be Andy Redwine?
Listener of the week. That's Listener of the week.
It's Listener of the week.
It's Listener of the week. It's the part of the show where we invite you, the listeners, to do a run-in. Ask Grado where he was on Sunday the 8th of March, George Square, or ask me what is my favourite Resident Evil game, Resident Evil 4. This week, we welcome the one and only Eddie, the only Eddie that matters in the wrestling business. Not Eddie Kingston, not Eddie Guerrero, not a... What other Eddies are there? Eddie...
Guerrero.
I've already said Guerrero. Eddie
Edwards. Eddie
Aye.
From TNA.
Edwards. Eddie Edwards. And now we have Eddie McKenna. Eddie McKenna is here. How are you doing, Eddie? Where are you?
I'm doing fine. I'm in Uddingston and I've been stuck in this bloody room for 12 months, so it's great to see other faces. So
we'll see you.
But we can't see your face, Eddie. We can only see a picture the new of you. We are is that
my
your
dog? Selfie with my dog. Hold
That's
on.
A lovely
I'll see
dog
if I can get up.
What's the name of your dog?
Harvey the dog.
After the film guy.
No, there's a story about that Grado, right? So we worked long and hard to give him a non-controversial name, right? So we worked through. The week after we named him, the whole Harvey fucking Weinstein thing happened.
That's brilliant. But I love the way you've went. You've said, I love the way you've went when you're thinking about what you're calling a dog. We need to make this non-controversial. I mean, that's
fucking... 1 week later, fucking Harvey Weinstein bit of a scandal, Me Too, fuck, that was...
You need to shout it in the street, that's the thing, isn't it? It needs to be a name that you can easily shout in the street without feeling like you've done something wrong.
We could have called him Harvey Weinstein, so it could have been bloody worse.
Tell us your story, because have you been shielding? Have you...
We look after so just to put some time. I'm old, right? So I'm 50, right? So
that's
not old,
mate.
That's not old. I'm there in like 6 years' time. That's not old.
Oh well, good. You'll get loads to look forward to Rab. It's great being 50. Hitting 52 weeks ago in lockdown, spot on, great. He's you old. Can't even drink yourself into oblivion. You forget you're 50, We'll get there. I get sent home in March because we look after my mother-in-law and she's high-risk category. So we were sent early before lockdown and I've been in the house ever since. The occasional trip to the supermarket. We live for them. We live for the supermarket.
Oh, that's it, isn't it now? That's the world is my co-op now, really.
You're right, but
it's nice. Grapes and all that, tins of tomatoes. There's all sorts of things to see in there. There's bananas.
We've worked through every kind of version of frozen lasagna. We've worked through. It's great.
Have you seen how many different flavours of Oreos there are on the?
No.
You can Oreos. Get a bit, well, in the Co, you can get like 3 different flavours of Oreo biscuits.
Right. I'm not too keen on Oreos.
I like an Oreo, but I like a classic Oreo, I must admit, Melanie and Nels.
Are any of yous in particular kind of... Like, if you got OCD with some facts, right? I read something tonight, right? And it's kind of wound me up and I kind of get it out the back of my head. But apparently McVitie's come out, right? And said that the chocolate part of the digestive biscuit isn't the tap, it's the bottom of the biscuit. And it's been messing with my head ever since I've read it. Do you get what I mean?
Right, what? Really?
Mm-hmm. Oh, don't you be talking about
some I wonder if they're saying that because when they manufacture it, right, I wonder if the biscuits are drapped onto chocolate. I wonder if they're drapped onto chocolate and then lifted.
They will be, you're right.
Drapped and then lifted. Yeah. I wonder if that is, right. So they're going...
If you were to eat a biscuit like that, if you were to eat it upside down, you'd just get chocolate all over your fingers, do you know what I mean?
Mm. Well, because how do you hold your biscuit? You hold it like that anyway, same so finger, one finger on either side. So.
Aye, but do you know what, well, do you not put your kind of thumb in the middle of the kind of biscuit to balance it? Do you know what I mean? And you have your finger on the edge of the chocolate.
Mate, the biscuit isn't in my horn long enough to even fucking notice what fingers it's in. It's on the finger, then it's in the mouth. Mm.
I don't eat digestives.
Do you eat chocolate at all?
Me? Oh, I don't eat digestive biscuits, though, because you do know why they're called digestives, don't you?
What, they fuck with your belly?
Ah, they're laxatives.
Are they really?
Yeah, they're supposed to help you.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Aye.
It's funny, I know I always like to give you a wee update on my IBS scenario, but obviously with IBS, the symptoms for me are always gone all the time. However, this week I was constipated for 3 days. And it's really? It's never been a side that I've. It's never been a side effect. It's ever.
Has it been better?
What is it? Well, is it getting better? Put it right. This goes on the truth. What happened to me the other day? But it was getting. Sorry, and Eddie, this is vulgar. But I was squeezing the other morning that hard. The blood started streaming through my nose. I'm not joking, mate. I'm not joking. I mean, it was, I was going, and my nose just went like that, and I started bleeding. I thought, fuck.
Have you ever squeezed that hard, you feel like you're going to faint?
Yep. Can see stars and all that.
You go start spinning and all that.
I've been there. I've got diverticulitis, right? So the only one bloody thing in the world I've got in common with Brock Lesnar.
Aye, where are you going? I was going to say that's the Brock Lesnar thing.
He was really bad with it, right?
I
was here to get a part of his bowel removed, so actually I've lost a lot of weight. I could take in a watch when I was eating stuff like that because I don't want to get anywhere near a hospital and get half my bowel removed.
But
all the things to have in common with him, that's it. So that's my claim to fame.
How have you been losing your weight, Eddie? Particularly during lockdown, have you just been eating really sensibly? Because obviously lockdown, you're bored. You just want to just stuff your face kind of all the time. So have you been then?
I just watch. I don't eat healthy, right? Far from it. But there's an app called I need to get my phone. It's called MyFitnessPal. And it's just I just try and keep within my calorie count.
Track the calories. Try and keep within it, and you're all right.
Eddie, have I ever seen you at a show?
You have, yes.
Right.
You saw me at a show many years ago, and I don't know if you remember it. It was in Cumbernauld.
In a school.
No, it's Community Centre in Cumbernauld.
SWA?
You were fighting Jackie Polo.
Wow.
You were in a main event with Jackie Polo.
Wow, I remember that.
You remember it? You don't know?
Oh, I did remember it, aye. Because it was small, wasn't it? Really, really small.
It was really small. The audience was pretty quiet as well. Mm. And it was me and my boy's pal there. And we are biggest Jackie Polo fans, right? Absolute Jackie Polo marks. Followed him, stalked the guy. He probably hates us. And at that show, we had our Jackie Polo signs up. Bro, he came, ripped them up.
I remember this.
Scrunched them up and used them as a basketball in this community centre.
Brilliant.
You're doing a spot where you've got him, you've got Jackie on the ropes and you bring him out and he's dazed and he's confused and you're dragging him all around the audience and the kids are all booing at him.
Chopping him.
Kids are chopping him. Then you go to us. And this is where I maybe go to apologise. So you go to us, and my son says, "Come on, Jackie, you've got him in the ropes," and we're patting him in the back and trying to revive him. and you mumbled something under your breath, Grado, and it was just if we're naughty boys that type, apologise. It was, but I can't even.
What, mate? I'm a crab bam. People think I'm the nicest guy. I'm a piece of shit with stuff like that. I can't take that. You do know that I come out and see stuff like that and go. Right, I don't like them, man. Why are they? I'm the good guy. Like I'm the worst for that. What did I say under my breath?
I don't know. My boy always thought it was that you said thank you, and I said no. I saw his face. He did not say thank you.
That's funny, man. That's funny.
I says, what on earth was thank you? But it was a great show, and God. It was like I said, we've been following Jackie for years, still are.
What's Jackie up to?
Well, it's funny, I messaged him at the weekend because a lot of people don't know this. Jackie Polo was a physio at Murray Park for a wee while.
Right.
And Steve is the biggest freaking Celtic fan you'll ever meet in your life. And he walked away with Jimmy Bell.
Him to wind them up?
What?
You messaged him to wind them up?
I think I said something like, do you know what? We've got to thank everybody throughout all the years, from the bottom to the top, for everybody, you know, I'm going... Thank you for being there during the dark times. Thank you so much, Jackie. Something like that. Can I say stuff like that to him? But I remember he turned up at one of the SW shows with a big bag of Rangers trackies. And so we got Jester to put on. Jester, who hates football, man. We got him decked out in this Rangers Puma tracksuit. It was funny, man. He looked like an Italian football player, kind of like a signing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or we saw him at one show, so I can't remember what it was, but just let's say it was an area that probably had more St. Margaret Mary skills than they had kind of politics. And he turned up in a Union Jack singlet. You've never heard so many boos in your life.
That's brilliant.
Old school stuff. Totally. So what questions have you got, Ed? Have you got any questions for us?
Well, that was my main question, right? I'm going to be useless at this. It was so what did Grado say to me? You can't remember, Grado?
No, I don't think I'd like to believe I never tell you to F you when there's Wayne's there.
You wouldn't do that. The big pavilion-y family bash thing.
We didn't chop him. We patted him on the back and tried to revive him.
Nah, I definitely told you.
Hold on now. How does patting somebody on the back revive them anyway?
Mark, it was just words of encouragement. We're saying, Jackie, you're doing a grand job. Go on, you've got him in the ropes. Go on, get in there, Jackie.
Thank God you're no fucking ambulance man, Eddie. I have a heart attack and you turn up at my house and you're like, come on, son, be pat in the back. How do you get? I'd be saying fuck you, do you?
Oh God, it makes you miss wrestling, see hearing wee stories like this, man.
This is where it all comes down to. This is the beautiful thing about wrestling, is hearing the wee independent stories of people there with their wains and all that, and watching the shows, and it's great. It's brilliant watching a show in like a community centre or a school hall or like one of these places. It's just a different vibe in it. It's good.
Can I butter you up a wee bit though, Grado? Just a wee bit? Or James. So I'm just saying your name. So we went to the shows when Sean was a wee boy, my son, years and years ago. We went to like Mark Busby Centre.
There we go. Rab walked there as well.
Aye.
He would have been backstage.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, brilliant. We did the shows. It was the Conscience shows, and the Magic was there, and your good self, the Lowlanders. Yeah, so
the worst tag team in wrestling fucking history.
Well, we were there the night Team 2K ran.
What?
They were there the night Team 2K. It was Wolfgang and BT Gun.
Yeah, wow, yeah.
That was a brilliant night.
A fantastic night.
And did you get it?
No. We were just that was kind of the start of your kind of journey, right? We stopped going for a wee bit because that show stole my son's Rey Mysterio pyjama mask. I'll never let that go. So if you're watching this.
But do you know what? I love that because I think there was about two folk in the crowd that actually got that, because BCW and SW rivalry was really just between the boys. A couple of fans were kind of smartened up to it. However, in the ring, I'm going, this is cool, man.
I don't think you're being fair there. There was more than a couple of fans that knew about the
you're right. You're right.
People knew it was a thing. You know, it was a thing. And I remember the pops and the excitement when these wee things were happening. I mean, obviously, like the wee Waynes and all that, like they were kind of doing the front. They know what was going on. But there was people in the know. They were in there, you know what I mean?
Chatting Team 2K. So there was people that knew, definitely.
You went way back, Eddie. You've been supporting...
Five.
You've been supporting the Scottish wrestling scene for a long time.
We watched the Lowlanders and we still went to shows after that. So we really have been going for a long time.
Fantastic. Brilliant. Let's leave it there, Eddie. Thanks so much for coming on.
Pleasure. Hopefully, thanks for having me, guys.
Please come back on again, mate.
And you can go out.
Honestly.
Get some...
Oh, fingers crossed, guys. Fingers crossed. Get the wrestling shows
come back on again, Eddie, it. Mate, right?
No worries, man. Good to talk to you, pal. Right? See you later, pal.
Take care.
Thanks, Eddie.
You just made the list!
Now, lists are everywhere, and they're even on this show as we look at wrestling-related lists every week. Now, you can vote for what you want us to talk about at patreon.com/wrestlingdaft. And this week, the two options off the back of the finish in the AEW Revolution main event were best match finishes versus worst match finishes. And of course, with 59% of the vote, it was, of course, the worst match finishes that won it. It's another one of these ones. It's a really difficult one. I've spoken about this before, this dilemma. The dilemma being the match endings you think of as bad match endings, only the worst match endings. The ones that are the worst match endings are the ones you even remember them. You don't even remember them. So it's a very tricky one. I'm maybe going to need your help here, Grado, for this, because I've got a couple in my head, definitely. But what have you got in your head for bad match endings? Letdown match ending.
Wow. It's like I'm looking at what the listener's saying, and I've got to disagree with one right away, and I have heard people say it before. However, a lot of folk don't like the Austin and Rock for WrestleMania 17 with the chair.
I like that ending.
I think I did like that.
Yeah, I did at the time. I was excited by that ending.
This is one of the ones where I really need to think, but God.
Well, let me tell you what I think might be the worst match ending, right? Now, do you remember John Moxley fought Bray Wyatt in the cage in WWE and a ghost came?
Oh, yeah.
The end of that match was a ghost. A ghost came. And there's no point making a list of like the worst wrestling matches ever, because there's just one match on that list, and that match is the match where a ghost came at the end. There's no other match in the wrestling history where it was like, well, so what was the finish of that? What was the finish of the main event of the pay-per-view where a ghost came? That was the fucking ending, and that was the worst. That was the worst. A Bray Wyatt match.
What happened with Hogan and Warrior and WCW? Was that not a bit of what happened with that again? Was there no something there? Am I getting that wrong? Or was it just a jobby match? I can't remember. Anyway.
What was the thing with the fucking finger poke of doom was a bit of an ending, right? However, I don't think that always gets called. That gets called quite a lot, the worst ending ever, but I don't think that was the worst ending ever either. Got people talking, didn't it? Got people talking. Let's see what people are saying.
It's too hard, isn't it?
It's very, very hard, man. Very, I don't know why they keep voting for these ones. Karate Warrior 2 says Sting versus Hogan Starrcade 97 is the ultimate and terrible finishes. Then you get Samoa Joe versus Nick Aldis. I'm not reading this. I won't read that. I'm not having it. Kev says Matt Hardy versus Edge at SummerSlam 2005 when Matt Hardy was quickly knocked out by the ring post after we'd been looking forward to them tearing chunks out of one another. That was an accident, though. Falcon says Yokozuna winning the Rumble by kicking out a Randy Savage's pin.
Oh, that is chucked him out. I
find him right out. Yeah, I mean, it's cartoon, isn't it? Paul says Sheamus versus Cena at TLC 2009. This is a botch, though, right? Cena tries to superplex Sheamus through a table. Sheamus fell off a top rope. Cena goes through the table, ends up losing the match and title. Crud. See, botches I don't think they count. Sandy says Reigns versus Strowman at Hell in a Cell where Lesnar broke in, F5'd everybody and left, and then the ref stopped the match. I think that cell finish was worse than The Fiend and Rollins. Hey, do you know what was a bad finish to a match? It just fucking happened. It was that one where Kevin Owens was fighting Roman Reigns, and Roman Reigns was handcuffed to that fucking thing. And Heyman was trying to get that thing unlocked, and that excruciating fucking 5 minutes of like the ending no working. That was a bad ending. Alex says Austin versus Rock WrestleMania 17. Nah. DTBM says The Fiend versus Seth Rollins referee stoppage and a Hell in a Cell where there is allegedly no rules. There's an argument there. Chris says WCW had loads, but Finger Point of Doom was the worst of the lot. Didn't he watch a lot of WCW after that? Willie says Rey Mysterio versus Sabu at the second One Night Stand. Stupid wee annoying doctor cunt stoking it after one table spot about 3 minutes in. ECW. ECW. And Jim says Grado versus Abyss. Monsters Ball. What was the finisher that match?
Oh my god, I don't even remember now.
What happened?
I don't even remember now, right? I don't even remember. I think, was it not meant to... Oh, man, I don't even know.
He must remember working out.
But he called, I'm sure he called...
Oh, was he just calling out there, Abyss?
Well, he called the choke slam. No, I get that. I rang. He called.
So was he running the match? Was it Abyss?
See, here's the crack of this match, right? Me and him rested on our laurels in terms of we had a match the year before in Bethlehem and we loved it, right? And all the boys loved it. And Abyss had it and he said, we'll just do the same match because nobody saw that. And I'm going, oh, my pal saw it. You know what I mean? Yeah. Right? And it's just like when it, and that day, Abyss was in charge. So this is, say, like a 10 match card. Abyss is the agent for the opener. He's the agent for the main event. The last thing on his mind is legit wrestling me. And so I'm thinking, right, okay, but he's the Monster's Ball guy. It's his match.
Aye.
And we literally had like 10 minutes before it. And he's like, what are we doing? And I was like, what are we doing? He's like, what do you want to do? And I was like, nothing. I'm like, man. And then it just was just right for the start, man. My jeans, my pre-melt jeans were too tight. I couldn't fucking run in them. I got feet film because at one point he tried to choke slam me through a table on the outside and I gave him the elbow and he went, oh, motherfucker. Ah, I'm going, are you all right? You know what I mean? I'm going, fuck's sake, calm down. Oh, motherfucker, that's stiff. Can't all that, can I? And then it just, for there, it was just like, oh, man. And then, fuck me. And then I can't remember. Something happened. Was it he rang the bell and I kicked to it? Was it that? I can't remember. And then he calls a black hole slam. So I feed in for the black hole slam, but then he decides to go for the choke slam. Then he goes for it again. And then when he goes to give me the black hole slam, man, his fucking knees combust and he just fucking, we just land like a pile of shite in the ring. And I was like, oh, man.
Oh,
and then well, we get back and he's going, great match, dude. And I'm going, I don't know, man. EC3's gone, mommy, watch that. And he says, it's the worst pay-per-view match he's ever seen in his life.
There's no way it's the worst.
And then I've told this before, and then at 3 o'clock in the morning, because Abyss loves looking up the sheets, he's like, he texts me going, you're right, dude. They hated it. I'm done. I'm retiring at lockdown next year. Retiring at lockdown next year, and I'm like, what? That's it, man. I'm retiring at lockdown. Yeah, man, like, oh my god,
beautiful. Is that the worst match finish you've ever been involved in, or have you had a worst match finish?
Probably, it's probably been fucking stinkers when you're doing. We own like kind of shows down in England, but you don't really remember. Nah,
what's the best match finish you've been involved in? Come on, tell us it again. One,
I'll tell you what I did love. I tell you what I did love is the fact that I always done my kind of funny pin, you know, the trip.
And
like every match where the guy runs in and I turn and go on my knees and the guy takes the bump back, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was like, I loved him when I done it to Johnny Ross for the finish. I fucking loved that because it was just kind of out of nowhere where he would be just batting the fuck at me. And then at the end, he's gone for it. And then I just sweat and go to two and he takes the bump over and I go, one, two, three. I love that because that was different.
Aye.
You know what I mean?
You like that?
Johnny Moss saw that.
You enjoyed that finish better than the finish we drew in the Hydro?
Well, aye, because I didn't want to beat him with a wee boot, but anyway.
Did you not want to beat him with a wee boot, no?
I don't know. No, I don't think I did. I think I originally wanted to beat him. No, right, so although it was cut out, which I was raging at, and I was like, we had another chunk of that match to go that he cut out, and he was like, when you go, man, time. I was like, mate, well, no one fucking Sky, you know what I mean? Time.
That's a professional, mate.
It is, but I was meant to hit him with his Future Shock, is it Future Shock, the double arm DVDT?
Yeah, yeah.
I was meant to hit him with that, and that plays in my mind, because I think the place would have went nuts if I gave him that.
Great, well, the fans were wanting to see the wee boot.
I know, but you just...
What are you talking about?
I know.
They wanted to see the fucking wee boot, obviously.
I know, but I just wanted... I wanted to hit him with that. What did they call it again?
Future Shot DDT, you're
Future
right.
Shot. I wanted to hit him with that. Whether he just... I mean, no doubt he probably went into business with himself and thought, I'm going under. I'm doing the job till I said that. I'm not taking my fucking... my finish for him. So he probably... So... Aye, you're a piece of shit.
No, mate. See all that stealing the, see all that taking other guy's finisher and all that. That's all fucking PlayStation 2.
Aye, but it's good fun. And I know that.
Nah, it's all fucking.
But that's what it's all about, mate. I fucking love all that. See, taking choke slams and all that.
If you finish him.
If I'm out the back door, I love it.
But hold on. If you finish him with his move, you're putting his fucking move out.
I don't mean that would be the finish. I wanted to date to him. God rest my soul if I wanted to do that. Do you know what I mean?
God rest your soul. Woo! So we have loads of gear so you can wear a t-shirt while listening to the show. You've sitting there and you get your big nappy and you've filled your nappy. You might as well change your nappy. You get your big t-shirt on and you're smoking on your bong and you can wear it on merch. Designs include the Marcus here with a picture of the Wrestling Daft belt, Wrestling's kid on, and the immortal quote for the immortal Hulk Hogan. Good night, Hulkamaniacs and Jabroni Marks without a life that don't know it's a work when you work a work and work yourself into a shoot Marks on a t-shirt. Tell them about the classics, Grado. What the classic t-shirt line?
Now, let me tell you about the classic line. We're talking, I'm a tick of bump for you, chips, cheese and done on me and Margaret Erefiend. And not only that, we've got hoodies, face masks, phone covers, trucker caps, bum bags and aprons. It's shop.spreadshirt.co.uk/wrestlingdaft. So check out our range at shop.spreadshirt.co.uk/wrestlingdaft, or you can check us out in the socials, Facebook page, Twitter, the full lot at Wrestling Daft.
Now the Beatles sang about the long and winding road, and we're on a trip down that road as two wrestlers as we relay your road stories. You send us your story and we'll read them out. See if you can pop the boys with a great story for your youth, your past. Let's jump in the car. Let's get this car started.
Let's go. What are you doing tonight, old boy?
Oh, some show tonight. You were working with Christine Cage tonight, weren't you?
Aye, mate.
How'd that go?
He's a fucking... He's a chub, man. But he outworked me, but...
Did you see the fireworks going off at the end of that match I was in? Gave me a right fright. I blacked out. Blacked out when that Catherine wheel started spinning.
I know, man. I want to do something about that, innit? I'm mortified for the penis.
Any stories?
I'll tell you when I turned 16, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I went to Portugal with my mum, dad and my sister, right?
Mm-hmm.
How weird is that when you go on holiday, right? I met a lassie for the same town as me. At that time I was staying in Barhead. And
Barhead at sale?
Barhead, mate. Mm-hmm. Barhead, where the second ever BCW show was held with but the Barbarian. Anyway, that's by the by.
Where I get a long tag team partner, Ian Connell. Stays in Barhead.
Is he? We might know this lassie, but this lassie, she was 2 years older than me. Lovely. Lovely. And this night, I spanked a bottle of vodka and went to the beach.
Whole bottle.
Whole bottle. And boom. The best 10 seconds of my life as I break my virginity.
You broke it.
Very nice. And after it, she says, do you fancy going skinny dipping? I says, well, aye, where the fuck no? So we did. She comes out the bar and I look round at my clays, the trainers, the full lot was gone. And all that was left was one sand covered trainer sock. So picture this. I'm having to walk the full length of the strip. And I'll be fair, I hold my cock in one hand, hiding my arse in the other. Everybody cheering and whistling as they came out the pubs. Rab, I didn't give two fucks, as I just get my hole. I had to chat my folks' hotel room, and they knew what had just took place.
They knew their son was a man now. They knew their naked son. So, as well, he was a man. Or did they think it was the guy who Red Hot Chili Peppers turned up at the door?
Either way, if you want to send in stories about when you first got your whole batter in, john@wrestlingdaft.com.
Sure, be respectful. There's one minute listening to this show and you're like,
I know. Well, you know.
We're trying to improve the audience. The audience needs to improve. You need to be better.
These are blue. These are far too blue.
They're far too blue.
They're derogatory. They're going to get us cancelled.
Aye.
So, nae wanking stories, nae cum.
No.
I don't want to hear come for the next 3 weeks.
Nae ho, Pater. It's not like...
We've got a ban.
Come. We have got a ban on come for the next
come
3 weeks.
Come ban. We have a come ban.
There's a national
ban.
Come ban on Wrestling Daft.
Yep. A come boycott. Boy come.
We're boycotting come.
Let's call it hashtag boy come.
Boycotting come.
Only for 3 weeks, though.
For 3 weeks.
For right. 3 weeks. No come for 3 weeks. Okay. If you have a Wrestling Daft Road story, doesn't even have to be any day with wrestling, just a funny story about your life that's going to pop as drop us a DM on Twitter at Wrestling Daft or on the Facebook page. That's it for Wrestling Daft. Please rate, review and subscribe on Apple or get us in wherever you get your podcast. Mind for more content and for the video version of the show, get on board patreon.com/wrestlingdaft. Check out our merch at shop.spreadshirt.co.uk/wrestlingdaft. Our listener of the week, as we said earlier, we announced it much earlier. It's Andy, isn't it? Who said, I will remind you, and this is a beautiful thing,
beautiful
to take away. He would like to bury all the nasty heels and put over all the friendly baby faces, please.
Nae science to it, nae cum, nae vulgarity.
Just the essence of wrestling boiled down inside Andy's body.
Nae complaining about Bailey's heel turn.
No. It's, Andy's a real man. Andy's a real man.
And I tell you what, I really enjoyed having a guy, a kind of middle-aged. It's middle-aged, is that offensive if you say guys at 50s middle-aged?
No, that's
what a fucking joyous man that was. If your dad wants to come on and sit and holler with us, let him know.
It was nice to have
a
grown man on the show instead of, you know, nae harm he is, but some of these are kind of like, kind of virgins in that. It's good having a grown man on. So, thanks so much for that. We'll see you on the next one. Grado, congratulations to the Glasgow Rangers on. And I'm not going to do any of this bullshit about like it's not the fucking same team, nor are it. It's all bullshit.
Well, Rab,
the fans,
you're a religious look, man.
Football, let me tell you, Grado, football, right? The identity of a club is all about the fucking fans that follow them. It's
Rab,
like the
fans. You've no idea how much I talk about you with us. And I'm no joking, I mention you all the time. I actually mentioned you on Go Radio Lunch, Go Radio on Alexa. We're here till 6 until 10 this morning. It's the boys at Breakfast, Crofty and Grado. I always met, like anytime we need to talk about football, I goes, Rab Flon says it best, like it should be embraced, the rivalry. Everybody should be able to say who they support and there should be nobody taking it the wrong way, nobody getting cancelled. It's all about rivalry.
But it's a hell of an achievement, so congratulations. I'm glad you enjoyed it. You're going to fucking replace the benches, though. That's all I'm going to say about it. Right? When I saw one of the benches, I thought, fucking Grado's been doing that. Grado's been doing the bouncy on that with his pals.
Grado's been doing the bouncy on that with his pals.
Oh, but what? Of course Grado wasn't doing there. Of course he wasn't doing there. Grado's one of the good guys. Right?
Anyway. Oh, my God, it's yourself.
It's yourself, Grado. Audio Frontier.